Welcome to Your Turn, Mike Causey. Glad to have you with us. We're here every Wednesday at 10 a.m., and we've got a really good show today. As per usual, we're going to be following the money. We've got a guest here, Julia Ziegler, who's on our staff. Julia, what are your many titles?
There are many, but yes. Web manager, we'll go with that.
Okay, web manager, but you've been sort of a major domoing all this stuff. Julia is a graduate of Penn State, and she got her master's at American University part-time.
That's hard, on the weekend.
Well done. Lauren Larson is at the controls in more ways than one. She's cruel but fair, as we say here. Got a good show today, and we're going to be joined later on by Sean Riley and Stephen Losey. They are staff writers with the Federal Times, and we're talking about a lot of things that our federal workers are interested in now. We've got sequestration coming out the ears, and we try to understand it. Why is it? What does it mean to you? Why are we doing this? Is it going to last? People are also interested in buyouts. Been getting a lot of emails lately from people who obviously are ready to pull the plug. All it would take, they say, is give me $25,000 and I'm out of here. looking at a retirement surge, looking at the possibility of furloughs, which is a very real possibility. And Julia, you've been tracking this, I guess, as close as anybody. Everybody here has been doing furlough and sequestration stories, but you're sort of, they're funneling through you. What's the deal?
Yeah. So, as you were saying there, Mike, people really do want this information. Sequestration, leading up to sequestration, we were getting tons of questions from people on our website, but now it's perhaps even, this information is perhaps even more important than it was before we knew it was actually going to happen, because now we know sequestration is here. We know that there's going to be furloughs. And so now people really want to know, how am I going to be affected? When am I going to be affected? How many unpaid days can I expect? And so we've put this thing together that we call the sequestration tracker. It's on our website. It's very easy to find. It's right on our homepage. You can also find it by going to federalnewsradio.com/sequestration. And the sequestration tracker really is an agency by agency guide to furloughs and hiring freezes and everything else that we have been able to collect and confirm and find from every different agency. Now, it's not an extensive list. Right now, we have 24 different agencies on the list, but this is constantly being updated every single day. So every time that we get more information from a different agency, we're adding it to this list. And what's great about it is that we're also, it's not just information. There's links to different kinds of resources that the agencies themselves have put out about what's going to happen. There's links to some of the reporter pieces that our folks have covered on these various different topics about sequestration and the furloughs. So there's tons of information in here, and we really urge people to check it out so that they can see what's going to happen at their agency. And also, if they have information about furloughs or sequestration, anything sequestration related that's not on this list, we urge them to email us, get in contact with us. We'd love to have that information so we can confirm it and then add it to our list so everyone has the information as well.
I'm sure well over half the stuff we got came through unofficial channels, people telling us they got a memo from the commissioner or the secretary or what have you. Mm-hmm. And so that's really a big help to us. So it's like an accident. Don't assume somebody's called the 911. Call us.
And the unions have also been very helpful as well. One of the things that is happening is that a lot of these agencies that have unions have to go to the unions first to negotiate the furloughs. So as the unions get this information from the agencies, they've also been very helpful in passing that information on to us so that we can then disseminate it to the public at large.
Well, you mentioned before sequestration took place, we had all these questions about, what's it mean? Mm-hmm. And they were good questions. For instance, can I get unemployment benefits? And, we had to research it and go to the government. Short answer is no.
Correct,
because they're probably going to be done one day a week per week. So, and you have to be on a certain number of days, and state laws, there are 50 different state laws that vary, but the bottom line is, for the vast majority, no unemployment benefits. Are we going to get paid back for this as we were in 1995-96? No definitive answer, but short answer, and I would bet money on it, is no, you're not going to get paid back. A furlough is a furlough. That's the purpose of it.
Right. And I would agree with that. I think things are very different now than they were then, especially in this budget climate that we're in, where you know, furloughs are just one part of the way that agencies have to make these very, very huge cuts in their budget. And so I think you're absolutely right. I don't think that people are going to get back pay for this. So they really should be preparing for what is my life like with, you know, seven, in some, it depends who you are and it depends where you work. You know, if you work for DOD, you're going to have 20, up to 22 furlough days, and it's one day per week. So as you've been talking about in your columns, one day per week in each, you know, that's 2 days per pay period.
Yeah.
So that's in essence a 20% pay
Absolutely.
Cut. So you've got to prepare for that. What does that mean for you if you have 22 days less of work, you know, in the next few months? Saving money. We've had a lot of people on the air come on and, you know, experts come on and talk about how feds can start preparing for that. But it really is a reality that I think a lot of folks are facing now. You know, what would we do if we had one less, you know, payday
yeah.
per week? You know, I think it's really important that people start thinking about this.
It's easy to go on public television and do a show and say everybody should have 6 to 9 months of savings, and they
right.
should. But saying it and doing it are two different things, particularly if the furlough is imminent, and some of these are going to begin in mid-April, correct?
Yeah. So this is some of the latest information that we found. DOD, for example, just yesterday we started learning new information about what they plan. So DOD furlough notices will start going out next Friday. So that's March 22nd. And as we know already, virtually every single DOD civilian employee will be furloughed. So that's 780,000 people. Our DOD reporter, Jared Serbu, reported yesterday that there are going to be very few exceptions to this. Very few. So most of those 780,000 people should be expecting to be furloughed. And as I said, that will be 22 furlough days for people at DOD. And those furloughs are scheduled to begin, DOD told us yesterday, April 26th. And that will be one day per week furloughs starting April 26th. We also learned yesterday some new information from HUD. They have about 9,000 employees. And they're telling us that all of their employees will be furloughed as well. Their furlough days will be slightly less than DOD. They're only looking at about 7 furlough days throughout the next few months. And their furloughs are going to happen May through August. So I think they're really trying to do them over the summer months where maybe people would be scheduling vacations anyway. Still doesn't mean that it's going to be a paid vacation day,
yeah.
But at least it would be over a time where feds had planned to have off anyway.
Well, and by pushing these back into May, there's a very good chance this will all be settled by then.
Yeah, and they have to push them back
yeah.
as well. They have to be given, each of the agency, every employee has to be given 30 days from the time they actually receive the physical furlough notice to when they can actually be furloughed. So these furloughs can't even start until April-ish.
Now, agencies have to negotiate to some extent with unions
mm-hmm.
that either where their employees are members or where their employees are part of the bargaining unit.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, I might not be a member of AFGE at the Defense Department, but I'm in the bargaining unit. I might not be a member of the NTEU at IRS or Homeland Security, but I'm part of the bargaining unit. Can they negotiate a different deal for me?
That's a good question. I think that's something we're going to have to ask the unions about. Actually, Jason Miller is out today covering a union event. And so it will be interesting. I think as the weeks go on here, we're going to learn more and more about exactly what's happening within these union negotiations, how they work, how much flexibility the unions actually have when it comes to what kind of furloughs will be implemented.
I have a thought on that. Lauren's giving us the eye here. We need to take a short break. Be right back on Federal News Radio. Hey, welcome back to Your Turn, Mike Causey. I'm visited today by Julia Ziegler. She is a web manager and much more here running the show, and she's been tracking the sequestration. Last year she was the buyout tracker, and we're going to get into that too because we had a lot of emails and calls from people who said, ask her about buyouts, so I plan to. But before we took the break, you were talking about unions have the ability and the right to bargain with federal agencies over the sequestration. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if that could be something like what happened when the Bush administration implemented pay for performance, and they did it in the Defense Department. They called it the National Security Personnel System. It was a Republican initiative. The Democrats didn't like it. The unions didn't like it. And so the unions, in effect, blocked it from their own people, and mm-hmm. defense was forced to put non-bargaining unit employees only into the NSPS. Could that happen here? Could the unions say our members or people in our bargaining unit can't be furloughed?
I don't think that's possible, but I do think where the unions come into play here is that, you know, all these unions have been talking with their members. And so they're a go-between between the employees themselves and the agencies. So inevitably, employees have been telling their unions, you know, what would make sequestration a little less hurtful for them? Maybe it's the time of year that these furloughs happen, or maybe it's once a pay period versus once a week. And I think that's the kind of information that the unions are going to be able to take to the agencies and bargain about. I don't think they're going to be able to bargain about whether or not the furloughs, whether or not the furloughs actually happen. I think that's out of the union's hands, but perhaps being able to say, you know, offering suggestions as to what would make these furloughs a little less painful for people.
Do you have any knowledge or theories about why defense, for instance, which mm-hmm. is the largest federal agency, I think you said 780,000 civilians, correct, virtually everybody is going to be furloughed, worst case scenario, 22 days, and yet you have HUD, which is mm-hmm. also a federal agency, 9,000 people, and they're talking about 7 days. And I think labor is talking about 7 days. GSA, I believe, said something like two. Mm-hmm. How can this be?
I think it all comes down to the money, and it all comes down to the percentage cuts that sequestration has to enact. So we know that the Defense Department cuts were higher than civilian agencies, so they have more cuts that are coming to their various budgets. And they've chosen to, you know, furloughing employees is the biggest way that they, you know, maybe one of the larger ways that they can help cut, you know, cut these costs down.
Do you have any sense that some of these are kind of punitive, that it's they're sort of socking it to us by saying, okay, you want sequestration? Yellowstone National Park is closed for the for the summer months, the visiting months. The White House shuts down tours, which backs up on Congress. Do you get any sense of that?
You know, we've been talking about that, and I think you've seen a lot. We've seen some articles, people talking about that as well. And I think it's a good question. You know, sequestration is, in some respects, a political game. You and I talked about this before. You know, sequestration actually was a White House idea that was then given to the Senate, and then Congress passed it. So it is somewhat of a game, and that's hard, maybe a bad word to use, but at the same point, it's the same thing when we talk about the shutdown, right? We always end up talking about the Washington Monument being closed, because those are the things that the regular citizen ends up seeing. So a national park being closed or the Washington Monument being closed, then you notice. And so it is, it benefits some people in this political game if a larger amount of the population sees those closures, sees sequestration's effects.
I think you said you've got 22 agencies so far that you know their buyout.
24.
Buyout, Freudian slip. We're going to ask about buyouts. Their furloughs. 24 agencies so far. Who do you not have?
So we don't know yet. We have not heard anything about NASA. Mm-hmm. And we have also not heard anything about Health and Human Services. And that's a huge one for us, because HHS has 8 smaller agencies that are a part of it, and over 60,000 employees. It's one of the biggest agencies out there. And so if anyone has information or anyone has heard anything from HHS, please email us, call us, let us know. If you have a furlough notice that you can pass on to us, please do. We did hear from an HHS employee. We got an email from someone saying, you know, they're They're being very tight-lipped over here. We haven't heard anything from leadership. Can you tell us what's going on? And at this point, we can't. We don't know what's going on at HHS, but as soon as we find out, we'll let people know. There's also some agencies that have decided not to do furloughs.
Yeah.
And those agencies are the Smithsonian's, the Smithsonian Institution, NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, SBA. And then GAO, GPO, and SSA have all said that they hope to avoid furloughs, or they'll use furloughs as a last resort, you know, if things like a hiring freeze or reducing training and travel don't cut their budgets down to where they need them to be. But SBA's reason, and I know you wanted to talk about buyouts and early outs and things like that, but SBA says the reason that they will be able to avoid furloughs is because they did offer early retirements late last year.
Yeah, okay. Well, the Smithsonian sort of shoots my theory about the Washington Monument cut.
Yeah.
If they're going to step. On the other hand, about half the Smithsonian is funded by the Smithsonian Fund itself, that James Smithson left, you know, 150 years ago. But that is interesting, and so we shall have to see. The you said the magic word. We both said it twice now. Buyouts, a lot of interest in it. I sent you some of the emails I got today from people who said, you know, I said, what could we a pay cut, pay freeze, pay cut, furloughs? Does it get any better than this? And a lot of people responded and said, you know, I'm out of here. Some of them said, show me the money. Others said they're going, or the reasons they're staying. It's late in the fiscal year, and I think people need to realize that.
Right.
Fiscal year begins October 1, so we're late into it now. It's most cost efficient when a federal agency offers a buyout in the first 3 months, October, November, December of the fiscal year. So are you seeing any movement about buyouts? Because last year, there were quite a few of them. They were very selective, but there were quite a few. And as you said, was it SBA said, because of the buyouts, they don't have to furlough?
So last year, there were at least 16 different agencies that offered buyouts or early outs. And in 2011, I went back to 2011 as well, and at least 21 different agencies offered buyouts and early outs in 2011. So it does seem that, you know, agencies really were using these tools that they had, you know, to, because there was already budget pressure then.
Yeah.
Even before sequestration was a reality, there were budget pressures, and agencies were feeling those budget pressures. And so they used these tools. But now, there is no thought, there is no, you know, word of any kinds of buyouts. And like you said, one of the biggest reasons is that these things are most cost effective when it happens at the beginning of the year. If my salary is $100,000 and you take the buyout on October 1 for $25,000, then that's a lot of a salary that I don't have to pay you throughout that year. However, the other thing is that a lot of early outs or buyouts can't happen because the money's just not there. These agencies are operating on a continuing resolution for the most part. So money for buyouts, new money for buyouts, just isn't available.
You know, in a different world, an alternate universe, if you didn't have so much political hostility toward the government and in some cases actually at government employees, I'm thinking the buyouts are an efficient way to get rid of people because the agency can do the picking. They can get the low-hanging fruit, and they can close an office in Butte, Montana if they want to, and they don't have to do it across the board. So it's a much less punitive way to do it. And the $25,000, a lot of people wonder why that figure. That was a creature of the Clinton administration. It was in the early 1990s. $25,000 was a lot of money in those days, or certainly more than it is now. It was enough to buy a car plus, even after deductions. And they haven't raised it. We keep getting reports from people who say they've read somewhere that it's going to be $50,000. Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
You know, it is really interesting talking about buyouts and early outs and how people are saying that they're taking them. Well, you know what? People are just deciding to retire anyway.
Yeah.
I think what's really fascinating to see is we got the retirement numbers from OPM from February, and OPM only expected about 5,600 claims to come in of new people saying they wanted to retire. And instead, they got over 20,000 new claims. Now, typically, as you know, January is the highest month of the year, and it was 22,000 claims came in January. But to follow that up in February with another 20,000 claims, that to me says that people maybe a few months back when you've got to make these decisions, we're seeing the writing on the wall and saying, you know what, it's time for me to go. Well, and it's time for me to get out, and it'll be very interesting to see what happens in March.
Yeah, the everybody's getting older, and, mm-hmm. and this is happening. And also point out that February was a short month, 28 yeah. days, so that's yep. a big number. Julia, thank you so much for being with us. We're going to do this again. We'll keep doing it till we get it right, and we'll be right back here and talk with our friends from the Federal Times. Welcome back to Your Turn. We'll be talking with Steve Losey from the Federal Times and Sean Riley, both senior writers, and they cover various beats. Gents, are you with us?
We're here. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for filling in, for batting cleanup. Love it. Sean, I know in the talking points we were discussing, you mentioned the House dealing with the Postal Service on the issue of dropping Saturday mail delivery. What happened there?
Well, essentially, at least the way the House Appropriations Committee reads it, the House has, by doing nothing, has continued the prohibition on the Postal Service ending Saturday delivery. Over the last 30 years or so, each year Congress, as part of an appropriations, a spending bill, has included a prohibition against ending Saturday delivery, making any reduction in delivery frequency. From the current six-day schedule. Now, what the House did last week is they passed a continuing resolution, which essentially leaves in effect all of the provisions in last year's spending bill for 2012. And by the Appropriations Committee reading, that means even though the Postal Service is nowhere mentioned in the bill, let alone Saturday delivery, that means that the prohibition continues through the end of September. Now, interestingly, though, there's another reading from Congressman Darrell Issa, a Republican from California who heads the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee and is very supportive of ending six-day delivery. And in his view, the Postal Service does have the go-ahead to end it and somewhat different interpretation of how the law reads. And right now the Postal Service is just saying they're going to obey the law, so it's not quite clear what they do. My guess would be that if this is put into a final, if Congress doesn't change anything in the CR that ultimately passes, the Postal Service will probably stand pat.
If I was betting, I would bet that the Congress, if it has any say in it, wouldn't allow them to drop Saturday service. Would that be a bad bet?
No, I think you'd be on pretty safe ground there. And, I think what's probably going to happen is that Saturday delivery is going to become a bargaining chip in efforts to negotiate a much larger bill that will attempt to kind of comprehensively overhaul the Postal Service, and put it back on a long-term path to financial stability.
Yeah, okay. I want to get back to the insurance question, too. But, Steve, I can't keep track of the pay freezes. I mean, it's like global warming versus global cooling. Where are we now?
Well, the House has passed an extension of the pay freeze for the rest of the year. They did that last week. And I sat down with Steny Hoyer, the congressman from Maryland, who is well-known as a friend to federal employees. And he kind of sounded like the pay freeze was beginning to be a lost cause. And on Monday evening, another nail in the coffin of federal employees' hopes for a pay raise was driven when the Senate Appropriations Committee released their CR bill that would keep the government open for the rest of the year. And it also contains a pay freeze through the rest of 2013. So both sides, nobody wants a government shutdown, and it appears the Senate, the Democrats who control the Senate, have decided not to make a half a percentage point or even less when you look at the actual practical effect, decided not to make such a small pay freeze the hill they're going to die on.
Yeah. Well, it's I must say I saw the interview, and I've seen others with Mr. Hoyer, and he's being remarkably candid. I mean, I, for what it's worth, I commend him for it, because normally these politicians, particularly if they're in an area that's so heavily populated by federal workers, but they'll say, we're going to fight to the last man and yada, yada, yada. And he just said, not going to happen. Sorry about that, huh?
Yeah, it is. I got to say, it is a little refreshing. I have the same experience. People say, oh, no, everything's mm-hmm. okay. Everything's okay, when, you know, the whole building is burning down around their ears. So, yeah, that Hoyer's candor on this subject is nice and refreshing.
Yeah. Hey, Sean, we were talking earlier with Julia Ziegler about the sequestration, and I think many people thought it wouldn't happen. We thought it was going to be like the fiscal cliff, that it was a bluff that wouldn't happen. But then when it did happen, if you read some of the hype from federal agencies, airplanes would fall from the sky, and aliens would overrun the country, and lawbreakers would be rampant. It's hard to see any effects of sequestration so far. Is it, or am I just in the cloud?
No, I think it's I think it's just beginning. It's only been really a week, about 2 weeks. So, no, I think at this point there's been a lot of paper flying around, you know, in terms of, employees getting furlough notices and various other, planned reductions. But it's, this is going to be a rolling, gradual process, and I think the impact will be felt, but it's going to be felt over time. And I think there's a general consensus out there the administration erred in suggesting that the impact would be felt immediately, although, of course, White House tours have been canceled. Another colleague of ours reported that outside of the House and Senate office buildings, lines to get into the buildings, of course, you have to go through a metal detector and a security checkpoint, are longer because of fewer Capitol Police. So I think, there are some limited effects being felt already, but I was reading, a day or so ago, that about three-quarters of Americans so far don't notice any impacts. But, nationally there will, but as we go on, I think they will be noticed. National parks are announcing cutbacks. The furloughs will affect, according to the FAA, will affect air travel, lead to more delays. So it will grow, the impact will grow over time.
I imagine beyond the Beltway, and it's not because people are ignorant, it's just because they don't much care about it, but that sequestration they probably think of as a bad stomach flu or something. It's not a not a topic of discussion as it is here.
Well, I have to say, I don't think any of us knew me. If you don't ask me a year, 2 years ago what sequestration was, I would have had to look for a dictionary.
Well, I heard on the radio the other day, maybe on the WTOP, that they were talking about the cardinals in Rome being sequestered, and I thought, oh, it's everywhere.
that may be even the Vatican.
That may be where the term comes from. Yeah. What's the status of the continuing resolution?
Well, the House passed their CR last week, and as I mentioned earlier, the Senate Appropriations Committee introduced theirs on Monday, and I believe they're going to vote on the CR this week. So possibly by the end of this week or early next week, we could potentially see a deal that keeps the government open for the rest of the year.
And that would be, is that the rest of the fiscal year?
Yes.
So
September
30th, we'd go through this again. Huh?
That's right. And then we start the fund for 2014, the fund of not funding the government.
Yeah.
The budget is already very late. It's usually released. The budget for the next fiscal year is usually released in early February. We're now in going on mid-March, and the White House press secretary said that the week of April 8th is going to be when the Obama administration releases its proposed budget for next year, so Congress can get right down to the business of not passing it.
Yes, yeah, which is what they seem to do so well. I think one of you, we were talking on the radio one time, one of you quoting Senator Inouye, retiring from Hawaii, and he said that there were only a couple of years that Congress has passed budgets under both Republicans and Democrats.
Yes, that's right. I believe it was 3 years, only 3 years.
Three out of like 20 or something?
50, Inouye was in there forever, five decades. And I think he said that there were only 3 years that it was passed. So, yeah, it's Congress. People like to say, oh, this is a do-nothing Congress. This is a do-nothing Congress. Congress always does nothing. So.
Or does it very slowly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's doing less. Well, what do you make of this apparent surge in retirements?
Well, I think that that's I think it's a very interesting development. I think it's a sign that all these furlough notices, all these threats to freeze federal pay further, all these threats to raise their retirement contributions, cut their benefits. It's taking an effect. Let me a little background. Last month in February, there were well over 2,300 federal employees who retired. That's more than three times the amount who retired in February, and it's almost as much as retired in January. Now, January traditionally is always the big month for federal retirements, but February, there's usually a slowdown, and this is something that is unprecedented, at least in my memory. Right now, we've had more than 4,200 feds retire. That's more than half of the amount who retired in all of 2010. So I think we are in for a, if this keeps up, and who knows, maybe it could be a fluke, but I think it will probably keep up, and I think we are in for a major, major retirement wave.
Yeah, the tsunami, it was first predicted in 1999. It was imminent, but here it is at last. Take a short break here, and then we'll do our own tsunami. Be right back. Causey. I'm talking with Stephen Losey and Sean Riley from the Federal Times. And reminder, all of our Your Turn shows are bookmarked on our homepage, so you could listen to them anytime. And this has been especially a good one with the discussions of furloughs and all of that sort of thing. Guys, before you came on, Julia Ziegler from our staff was here, and she'd run our buyout tracker last year. And is doing our sequestration trackers, as we all have this year. And I believe she said that there were 16 buyouts, federal buyouts last year. This is those $25,000 payments, except in the Postal Service. And there were more than 20 in the year 2011. And we've gotten several emails from people here who say, ask the Federal Times guys about buyouts. Are they coming? What's the status?
Honestly, there has been very little talk of buyouts this year. Last year and the year before seemed to be the great big buyout wave. But all that talk has really just stopped cold as soon as the sequester started to look like it was a reality. I was at the Pentagon for a briefing a couple of weeks ago, Bob Hale, one of the Pentagon officials, was talking about the need to furlough furlough Federal Defense Department civilians, and he talked about layoffs, and he said that laying off federal employees at this point would actually cost DOD money because of all the severance pay and things like that. And I got to imagine something similar is at play in the lack of buyouts. If you buy someone out, you got to pay $25,000 or maybe less to get them to leave. And at a time that you're trying to save money, that's kind of shooting yourself in the foot. So that's why I don't think we're going to see buyouts, at least not on a wide scale, anytime soon.
Yeah, and they have been each year, even in years where there were 10 or 20 separate buyouts, they've been much more selective than the 1990 variety when they said everybody out and everybody eligible took it, whereas this time around they've limited it to geographic areas, to specific jobs, to parts of departments and agencies.
That's right. That's right. They were very, very kind of surgical about it. And I think the reason we saw a lot of buyouts in 2011, 2012 was because the writing was on the wall. Nobody, this should not be, these budget battles that we're in right now, the sequestration, this should not be a surprise to anybody. And I think a lot of the people making decisions in these federal agencies knew what was coming and said, hey, this is going to be bloody. We got to get out in front of this and start reducing our personnel costs ASAP.
Right, and as with everything, timing is everything, too. We're in the fifth month of a 12-month fiscal year, so this is not the time to be offering buyouts, even in fat days. They're more cost-effective for the agency and the government if they're offered in October, November, December, the first 3 months of the fiscal year. So you think that the buyouts might pick up in October?
I really can't make that prediction. I suppose it depends on, whether the sequester stays in effect and or whether agencies get more flexibility. If they get more flexibility, who knows? We could see more buyouts. But if the sequester stays as it is, agencies are just going to keep furloughing employees and hoping that does the trick, I think.
You know, and it'd be interesting to hear what both of you think. In today's column on our page, the Federal Report, I said, you know, with the pay freeze, the continued pay freeze, and the furloughs and all that, what's not to love about government service? And, you know, are people thinking about leaving? And I got a batch of emails still going through them, but the majority say no. They say they're going to stick around forever. They love what they're doing. One guy says, I don't like the work environment and the way bureaucracy works, but I do feel like it was a service to the country, no matter how small. And several other people from the FBI and the IRS and defense have come in, and they said, I like what I'm doing, and why quit?
Yeah, and, you know, nobody likes furloughs, of course.
Right.
Nobody likes pay freezes, but it beats being unemployed. And the fact is, even with all this awful, awful news that is really devastating to federal employees, it's still a good job. It's still a good job with good benefits and decent pay, even if you're getting as much as a 20% cut. It's still a decent job. And so I think, you know, I said earlier that we did see a surprising jump up in the number of retirements last month. I think, you know, that is true. That is where we are going to see more people retire. But I think the vast majority of feds are going to stay put and say this is still a pretty good gig, all things considered.
Well, and the workforce obviously is aging, and there were big hiring bumps in the 80s and whatnot. So, you know, none of us are getting any younger, but that's particularly true of the federal workforce. So it's natural that they're going to retire when they're able to retire.
That's true. And this, you know, these people may have, you know, maybe they would have retired next year, 2 years from now, and this is just a catalyzing agent, just kind of cramming all the retirements in all at once. We're just going to have to wait and see, I suppose.
Well, and some people talk about their high three has been frozen for 3 years, but, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I know you guys have reported that, and it's what I call underground or iceberg raises, things that nobody notices, but a large proportion of the federal workforce has been given 3% pay raise in the last couple of years through ingrades, right?
Yeah, most federal employees are under the general schedule system, and if you're in the GS, you more than likely get raises through your step increases every 1, 2, or 3 years. And a lot of federal employees, hundreds of thousands of federal employees, have gotten pay raises through those step increases over the last couple of years while the pay scales have been frozen. So for, you know, many federal employees, their high three has gone up.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot, not as much as they would have liked, but it has gone up.
And also, for every year you work, your final annuity increases, what is it, something like 2%?
That's right. I can't recall the exact amount right now, but yes, your time in service is definitely used to compile your overall pension. And so, yes, sticking it out one more year, two more years will result in a higher pension for you.
What else are you working on?
Well, we are, kind of taking a look at some of these proposals that have come out recently. I mentioned the Senate CR bill that would freeze pay, and Paul Ryan the other day came out with his latest version of a 2014 budget. Contains a couple of things that are not going to make federal employees happy. He calls for federal employees making greater contributions towards their pensions, along the lines of what the Simpson-Bowles Committee proposed. That would result in, I think, roughly like 5% percentage point increases for FERS employees, so they would pay an equal amount as the government contributes to their pensions. It says that federal pay levels and pay increases should be reformed to better align with those of their private sector counterparts, and it also would cut the federal workforce by 10% through attrition by 2015, which he says would save $49 billion over 10 years. So Paul Ryan is not giving up that ghost.
Mm-hmm. And also looking at the CR, you know, what's going to happen with that as it goes through. I mean, they're contrary to what seemed the case a few weeks ago, where I thought there might be a fight over whether to continue whether, you know, try and replace sequestration or repeal it, it looks like now they're, you know, the cuts are going to remain in place. The, you know, the big question is which agencies are going to get more flexibility on how to deal with them.
Right, and in raising the retirement contribution, the Congress and the administration did raise it for people hired starting this year, didn't they?
That's right. They raised it about, I believe, about 2.3 percentage points. So the new federal employees are paying more. This would most likely raise it even more and raise it for everybody.
And the Obama administration did endorse higher contributions for employees, not as high as the Ryan people have proposed, but they did endorse it, didn't they?
Yeah, 1.2 percentage points, I believe, phased in over 3 years.
Yeah.
So it's just there's most likely going to be some pain coming for federal employees. It's just a matter of when and how bad.
Pain is our business. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us. We'll get to talk to you again next week. Sean, Steve, have a good week, and we'll see you here next Wednesday.